I remember when she like talked about, I remember when Paris talked about like, that's a voice and that's like a person I put on or whatever, but like, I'm really down here. And like, she sounds like a boy.
But not I really. Think it's a little bit of both. Like, that voice, I do think came out of a natural thing that she probably did at home a little bit. Yeah. Like, when she wanted something, or, like, being cute and cozy.
Yes, for sure.
Because there's a... But there her is mother something does, very organic about
Kathy Hilton was the originator of the voice. She
is that
was,
so?
Yeah, she was... There was, like, a clip of saying, like, oh, we got that from Mom. Because she used to be like...
Wow.
That's how I talk at home.
No, sorry. You mean that's how you talk to Philip now?
Correct. At home.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
I'm like, baby, I want something sweet.
Sorry. You meant for like sweet sort of everyday.
Really
moments.
Just everything or like it's like good morning, how you and like there's some points where I'm like, all right, we got to snap out of that.
It's I know.
Like,
don't age yourself. You're making yourself more of an abuela before you actually are.
I think it's the opposite. I think having the voice is very youthful and playful. Yeah. That's something young couples do.
Yeah, well, when Johnny makes that, did you hear the voice he just did?
It's just giving a little like my teeth right in my mouth.
It's a little cocaine rasp. For the listeners, I've done no cocaine this weekend.
Ever.
Yeah, I don't. No.
I don't partake in the white devil.
But I'll partake in the white man.
Yeah, which is also the white devil.
Yeah, one and the same. Well, I'm not going to even get into race play. That's another story altogether.
Oh, God.
Morning glory. That's another story, morning glory.
It really, really is.
Oh, my God.
It is. No, ever since people, now that you can, your likes are, you know, so a big change in Twitter for those of you who aren't on Twitter or X. Now
this
you
feels
can't
directed
go to
me.
Somewhat. So you can't go to someone's profile and see the things that they've liked.
I did see that update.
That used to be something you could turn off, right? You could turn that option. You could
correct,
privatize
think,
that. You could
yeah, yeah,
you could
so.
Choose to not disclose. But overall, most people just left it up. And it was so helpful because you could just go kind of through and see someone's stream of consciousness and really see what they're looking at.
That's why I don't like things now. Like even
well,
on
now
Insta.
It doesn't matter.
No, but I meant on Insta. Like I'll like something in my head, and I'm like I'm trying to. I don't want the algorithm to like
To feed it to you.
To feed more of the thing. Do you know that
more
makes sense?
Men. More men.
But what if it's like something lovely?
Dog, no, dogs and thing, dogs and you know.
Oh my God,
dogs.
That is so funny because the other day me and Philip were like, oh, let's look at each other's explore pages.
And
get
what did you learn?
Embarrassing. Mine was like all men, and like two brownies, and his was just like all like Beyonce cookies, puppies, and I was like, maybe like one or two men every now and then.
Who suggested we look at the explore pages?
Who do you think?
He did.
No, me.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
Well, because so I was at a party. No. I was at a party. I was at a party once, and someone's like, "What's your type in men?" I was like, "I don't really have a type. I kind of like I like them all." And they're like, "Open your explore page right now."
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, "Oh," and then I opened it and they're like, "That is your type," and I was like, "Oh." So I like thought about that with Philip, and I was like, "Oh, I would love to see like what your
I love when people have gotchas."
And
there, yeah.
Oh, a gotcha at a party.
Yeah, like I you see, I'm so smart. It's just I can see this person. What a fucking
that's
tool.
Your type.
Keep on going. Yeah,
I can be that person sometimes. I'm the person that's like, you said something like, "Oh yeah, like let's dig deeper," but like sassily get in there. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I can do that sometimes, Juan.
Yeah. Police! wait, was I going to finish telling you about race play? Oh, so now that you cannot see likes, you're seeing OnlyFans creators and people and things that are getting more likes than they used to.
Oh.
So I've kind of noticed the trend when
algorithm?
You just go to... Well, when I go to the For You, you know, like their there for you version where it's just tweets compiled for you. Right. I just noted that overall, like numbers are higher than usual. And it's because now people are liking with abandon because
of that. Oh.
Because they're not, they're not going to get clocked by their employer or
boyfriend.
Yes.
But
and
the person that is the person that the post owner can still see that you've liked their thing, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I guess you would, right?
Like, I know if you pay, yeah. And if you pay for Twitter, you get to see who bookmarked your post also. Yeah, you get that feedback to see exactly. And on TikTok, you get to know who to bookmark your page inherently.
That's for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, this is something that's a feature you... So anyway, the reason I say that is because on my For You page now, all of a sudden, some other things have started to pop up, which means that a lot of my friends and people who I follow have started to like things that, you know, people who I follow, who I have interacted with, are liking things that's feeding me stranger things.
Interesting.
Strange like, things.
What would you say one of those things would be?
Race play. Yes, my feed on Twitter is now full of things I really don't want to see. I don't want to see that.
Wow. That's crazy.
Race play. The girls are liking it, and it has come up. What is
name?
What is an example? An example is this creator who does.
Wait, you mean like during sex?
Yeah. Also, just in general, more pornography has popped up on my For You page, and it's definitely attached to people liking more liberally, without question. Yeah. I just know it. I just know it because you can kind of just tell. Like it was just one day from one day to the next.
Wow.
It was absolutely wild. And now that Twitter's also said, as long all content, as long as it is not hate speech or harmful, and both parties are consenting adults, it's allowed on the app. So now, you know, before it was just kind of this unspoken permission. Now it's a spoken permission.
Wow.
Because we don't say that he hits you, but now we said it.
Oh my God, you guys, I just watched a clip that I'm sure you both watched in real time, but to me it felt very new, but it was like, something, you're so fake, and blah, 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 and then she's like, yeah, can I tell you the one fake thing about me? And then she puts her she had a fake leg?
Yeah.
Her name is Aviva Drescher. It's Aviva, both backwards and forwards, it works the same way.
Wow.
Aviva, and,
Did she say that on the show once?
No, but a girl that I went to high school with did. So
okay.
Not high school. Maybe she was a stage door manager. Either way, Aviva was, she was like, it's Aviva, backwards and forwards.
Wow. Work.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Aviva Drescher.
That was quite a, what's
a
it
clip.
Called? A clip, yeah.
And what's funny is that her fake leg went from being something very kind of a thoughtful, the decorum of the show because they were we
the
spoke
awareness.
About her.
We included a woman with one leg.
Exactly. Yeah, and her disability.
Yeah. Right.
And then
exactly.
She.
Listen, her disability was spoken to. No one was making fun of her.
No.
There was a gentility about it. It was not objectified in a nasty way until it was. And the worst part is she kind of did
She did that.
She did.
Yeah.
But she
She's
wasn't.
Like, I know
wasn't
what you're all thinking.
Incident.
She said, slammed that thing on the table.
I would love to ask her about the how in those 7 seconds where the decision was like, you know what? Like that she knew to
do. Oh, she didn't decide in those 7 seconds, baby. She decided that at home. She was getting herself ready to go. She knew she was going to that dinner. She knew it was going to be filmed. She knew that her time, her contract was going to be up for renegotiation. She had to pull out all the legs.
Juan, do you agree?
Yeah. She's a very scripted woman on the show.
Oh, interesting.
If you saw her on the show, she's very smart. Aviva Drescher is very, very smart. We're talking about The Real Houses of New York, by the way, in which Aviva Drescher, one of the later seasons, I think it was season 6.
Yeah.
See, test me on that, but I think it was season 6, and she gets into an argument, and at the season finale, I think it was season finale.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, she gets into an altercation, and she throws her fake leg onto the table to make a point. Mm-hmm.
Well,
the ultimate period.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think she came back.
Wow. No, she didn't. That was the end of her. That was the last leg her she had to stand reign. On. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she was the kind of lady who would plan a line. And because remember, she says, the only fake thing about me, it was a little too scripted, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Okay. The only fake thing about me is...
It's crazy. Countess Luann's reaction is...
It's amazing. She's amazing. Okay, so from one theatrical event to another. Last night was the 77th Tony Awards.
Yes.
Here's what I will say. I am so, so happy for Shayna Taub. Talk about stage door manner. I went to camp with Shayna Taub. I've known her since I was literally a kid.
Wow.
And to see her win for best score and best book for Suffs, it just speaks to, you know, what everyone says when you go, when someone goes up to win an award, that if you work hard and you really try and you focus on, like, that is literally that. It's a Abbott Elementary kind Aww. Of story. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that makes the Tonys worth it because she really deserved best book because all the source material, I was thinking about this. You know, Hamilton is like based on a book.
Right.
About this man.
Uh-huh.
And Shayna had to kind of combine it's a lot of little mini Hamilton. She tried to like make all these people sing together in one show, and she had to kind of discuss the nuance of women who wanted to were fighting for the right to vote but were not fighting for black women in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all this intersectionality.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being like, I'm going to write that musical, and here's how the script is going to go. Yeah. And all these facts are correct. And would someone like to fact check me? I mean, I'm just amazed, and I'm really happy that she won.
I love that.
You saw The Outsiders, right?
I did see The Outsiders.
Best musical.
It won?
It won Best Musical.
Oh, my God. Great. That's huge. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was some of the best fight choreography and just choreography in general that, like, it was just so, so well done. And have we never talked about this? But Johnny, you'll be here. I don't know if you want to see shows. Like, it would actually be, I would be curious to hear what you think about it because it's some of the best male singing I've heard in a long time. Like, I was just like, it's very kind of Mark Broussard,
yeah.
Gavin DeGraw, New Orleans, you know, and all these boys on stage are just like... singing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered kind of like just love. It was kind of the 2024 version of a West Side Story in that there, you know, there's a group from the other side of the tracks and there's like the squares and all, anyway, and the Still gang vibe of it all. Yeah, very that.
Did you guys have to read The Outsiders ever growing up?
No, it wasn't part of my read, but I know that that was something for American schools here.
Yeah. I had to read it.
I'm so sorry.
I can't. Yeah, but yeah. Does something make you laugh, Johnny?
I'm sorry. Every time we talk about Euro-Ian, it makes me giggle.
Just because it makes sense. Why?
Because it just
it.
I it, okay. There's just. There's just a
good glottal. We love a glottal.
There's just a little air of what's the word? There's just a poshness that comes out of you when you talk about your time overseas. You know, with the London of it all and the au pair and the American schools. It feels very what's that accent? The new transatlantic.
So you're saying I don't maybe sound transatlantic, but I have a transatlantic attitude?
Energy. There's an energy that's like, yes, darling, of course, when when I was overseas and at the American schools, I know they had to do that, but back where we were, I don't think we did.
Oh, my God. I was just saying, because, like, you know, like in America, like a real... Like, not you're not a real American, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
An American would be like, oh, yeah, I never read The Outsiders. It's like, they don't read that. It's like, you know, it's an American thing. Versus, like, no, it's not a part of the British curriculum. It's never quite. never quite understood the stories of teenagers. It all seems quite pedestrian.
Oh my god.
Yes. That is just, I love it so much.
Yeah, it just has a little, it has a little, it's a little zesty when we talk about the UK.
Oh my god. Wow. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm holding on to it a little too strongly. No, but you know what's interesting?
You don't mention
but
it that much.
Special.
But no, you're right. I bring it up because obviously, like,
it's your J Lo was on the block.
Bitch, you're like, bitch, he hasn't been here in forever. What the fuck is he talking about?
Oh, he's my like, god, you need to go back to your block.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? Here's the thing is when I meet
back
people
to your block in London and yeah. see if anyone recognizes your ass.
But that's what's funny is like when I meet people from the UK who were like, oh wait, like whereabouts did you grow up? And I'm like, oh, and I tell them like Kensington, and then like I was on Brompton Road, and I tell them like where I grew up, and they're like, oh, like it's not like South London, and then I left when I was five, and like yeah. I don't, you know what I'm talking, and like I'm still associating with this like thing. It's very much a part of the first 11 years of my life, yeah. and. I think it's why actually I connect so much with people who are of both, like who grew up somewhere here and maybe like they had military family, people who traveled a lot. All of a sudden, like we get each other because there's this way that you also kind of had to chameleonize and mm-hmm. learn a survival response in a way to have it. You know what I mean? Like it teaches yeah. you to grow up pretty fast. But I also am very lucky that I speak three languages quite well and
was English, British English.
British English, sorry. Oh, so then five, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not lost on me, and it might be a little like, huh, whatever to mention it, but it makes me feel good, and I love that I had the upbringing I had.
Oh my god, yes. And you know, it's funny, you don't actually use it as much as other people would who would have lived there for the first 11 years.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I do it as a way of like, oh, by the way,
it's
like,
just funny that it's the United Kingdom. Like, because if it were, you know, any other place, if it were Tennessee, it would just feel a little bit different. But you know, if you're like, yeah, no, we didn't. In Tennessee, we never were the outsiders. But
counties, I think it always catches me off guard.
Not recommended.
Too, it always catches me off guard too, because I like in my I just picture little Miami Ian, and I forget that there was, you know, like I lived in Germany for a little bit,
yeah,
and you know, Texas and New Orleans, and I was just traveling all around, but I don't even what'd you say?
You should lead with more Germany. That's interesting.
But it's just not part of my lore as much. I remember it very, very much in my brain, but I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. When were you in Germany? Like, what ages?
Like, 2 to 5.
Wow. Hey. Oh, my God.
Like, I remember years, a lot of firsts there. Like,
literally, even kindergarten. Kindergarten. Actual wow. Kindergarten.
Wow.
Kindergarten is a German name, word, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, English is a Germanic language, of mm-hmm, course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But luckily, we also, all three of us, speak a Romance language as our second language.
If you were to move to any country tomorrow in the EU, which would it be?
Ooh. Oh my, that is... Well, actually, no, that's not so hard. I think I'd move to London. Because mm-hmm. you can travel quite easily. And you can just take the tube to go to France whenever you want, and right. Spain whenever I want, and Germany whenever I want. And so, yeah, I feel the London it calls me. It calls me back. My hometown, it calls me back.
I would probably have to say, well, I love Spanish so much. I love speaking Spanish, so I think it would have to be Spain.
Of course.
But I also love English. I love the English language, and I would miss using it all the time. So it'd probably be either London, if I could be in London, but if not, it would be probably Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Ay, sí, mi amor.
Oh, my God.
Right on the water there, darling.
Johnny, what about you?
Gay Paris.
Ooh,
romantic through.
I just, yeah, exactly. I just want to be involved with romance at all times.
Are you guys people who, when you speak Spanish, and this is obviously showing my cards because I do this, but when you are around people who are de España y hablan así, like, do you mirror them a little bit? Juan, no. I've been around you when you speak Spanish. We've been around, we've traveled a lot, but, like, I don't notice it. But does it happen maybe when, like, friends aren't around and you can, like, kind of be a new person and, like, you're by yourself and you want to have a fantasy, like me a lot of the time?
Like, when you guys aren't there to fucking embarrass.
Yeah, exactly. Just call me out.
I will. You know who I will do it to? I'll do it with friend of the pod, Robert Correa. Robert Correa and I went to Barcelona, we were in Barcelona and Ibiza and all of that and blah blah blah. And like, it comes out there. It comes out. But that's a me thing, regardless. Like, if people from the UK are in front of me, forget about it. It's like, that's blah blah blah. Accent. But I've always, as a kid, I just do the mirroring thing.
Well, you're also an artist, so it feels like, oh, this is fun to play. Yes.
Always
like,
working on the craft, darling. Always working on the craft.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I actually have always felt very insecure. Well, I've always felt very insecure because my accent in Spanish is not super Cuban. Mm. It's not highly affected. And I've always it's a little bit more. People always tell me I'm either Venezuelan or I'm Puerto Rican. It's just a little bit lighter. It's a little code switched.
It's that newscaster Spanish, baby.
Yeah,
it's
correct.
That, yeah. Grew up in the news business.
Correct. It's just my mom has the most beautiful Spanish ever. God, yeah. And I've kind of mimicked hers. It's very neutral. So I've always kind of felt like an imposter a little bit. So no, if anything, it just gets a little bit more. If I put on anything, I put on a little bit of a thicker Cuban accent to feel more Cuban.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, yeah, especially because people love Cuba when you travel. Ooh. In Spanish-speaking countries, they're very interested in Cuba. So when they find out you're Cuban, they're like, tell me more.
Yeah, interesting. I like,
So that, if anything, it gets more Cuban.
I think the only way that I can speak Spanish is if I give it a little extra.
You know, like you're of something else, like you pull from it.
Yes, yeah, like when I used to do Jalisa videos and I used to speak in Spanish, it would just flow out of me because I wasn't thinking about the words. I was thinking about something else, you know. So I would say if you do know other languages and it is hard, just put on a character and it might just flow out of you.
Speaking of other languages and put on and just like things that are lighting me up, the algorithm hit the jackpot for me. And sent me, oh my God, this family in France. Her name is, I think it's like Mademoiselle, like Soph, like short for Sophie. And it's her and she does bonjour, bonjour. And her little daughter comes on and she's like, it's Luc du jour, which is like outfit of the day. But it's so
Luc du jour.
And it's always like that. And then like the little one always pops in and she's like, coucou. And it's just so cute because the whole family does it. At first I thought it was just the mom who is so chic and gorgeous and beautiful. And it's just like, I love the French language so much. And I really do like, I miss being able to speak as fast as I used to and all the things, whatever. But yeah, I'll send you
down in French.
I could. And if I moved back I was there, it would be fine. But it's the perfection final product ism thing complex in me that like because I can't think like I used to in it, and it takes me a while to be like, I'm like, okay, like how do I like I have forgotten words, and so then I just don't use it because it's not perfect. But then I'm like, well, but that's why it's still not perfect, is because you're just not using it anyway. But this account is just so cute, and you know, it's giving like Lueve and things, but then a lot of like Zara, they wear a lot of Zara and H&M, and it's just like fun to hear them say things that
so
we say.
So they rich.
It's a little high low. Yeah, but then also they wear like cuz, un petit peu de cuz, like you know, and so it's like
accessible.
And what I love also is on the little one, her little daughter, it's a lot of Zara. It's a lot of Zara and COS because you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And H&M, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because she's going to grow out of
that. Because having kids is expensive no matter where you fucking live.
Exactly.
And the bitch is going to grow out of it real quick, so.
Yeah. Wait.
Real.
I'm going to find it for you because I sent it to my sister, of course. Oh, my gosh, she's so cute. I want you to hear her. Hold on. I want you to hear it. Hold on.
Papa et vous venez les parents.
Et on fait quoi? On fait un
bisou. And it's just so cute to see like a 6-year-old selling me clothing, pretty much.
And you're buying.
I love it so much. Anyway,
what
I'll
if
send
you moved
to
Paris? What if you did like Ian avec Paris? Like,
Ian
you know,
avec Paris?
Emily in Paris.
Yes.
That would actually be sickening, darling.
Yeah. And you could just do like, come visit.
Yeah. Well,
I would definitely come visit.
That would be really, really fun, actually. Because Paris, you know, I don't
toilet.
Have...
No, no, that's... Wait.
Bathroom?
En deux trois. Yeah, trois. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tres leches.
Tres leches. Oh, my God. Toilet, if you will.
Toilet.
You would, toilet. So, like, L-A-I-T, which is milk.
Milk, yeah.
Yeah.
Poudre-le.
Yeah, I don't know Paris like that. So, that would really be a... like learning it for the first time, you know. Yeah. Like I've been once or twice. Like we used to go to the what's it called, the Disneyland that's there, or the Disney World that was.
Oh,
there.
Euro Disney, which I've never been to.
MT for the Disney, whatever. And it's just so fun. Like you hear those things. I'm not kidding. One of those videos was on replay while I was getting ready for whatever this weekend because I was just like repeating the words and I miss speaking in it. So you're like, well, I'm just gonna like say what they're saying, and you kind of like memorize their TikTok all of a sudden. Yeah. That's what I was doing. Because I miss it. I really do wish I could access it with more people. And that's why I need, or I would like, a boyfriend or life partner who speaks a second
language.
French or Spanish. Or is like someone who wants to be able to speak those languages. You know what I mean?
You know, it is something that I loved, loved, loved about my ex. Was his Spanish.
You're right. I loved it. His Spanish was so good.
His Spanish was beautiful. He lived in Spain. And it was so wonderful to have that because it was so nice. He could speak to my family very authentically, you know? He could really express himself. But then we also had that too. Do you know what I mean? Like, we could watch Drag Race España and like whatever else in Spanish and talk about it. That was really nice. That's actually something that I really need to think about when pursuing my next partner, Ian, try to prioritize that.
Yeah. I know now that you
it's
think
not
about
something
like,
I think about.
Correct. Cause it was just, there were other things that were also great about Jack and you're just like, oh yeah, like this thing we used to access. And I loved that about him too, because we used to talk about people in front of us to each other while they were in front of us and they wouldn't know what we were talking about, which was always so fun.
Yes, you know, I've stopped myself from doing that as much lately because people be speaking Spanish.
People be speaking Spanish, honey.
People be speaking Spanish.
Uh-oh.
They had one or two semesters in la escuela secundaria. Uh-huh. Y tienen suficiente para atender. Like, they're not fluent, but... Saben más o menos las palabras para poder entender cómo va a ser las cosas cuando una persona está hablando mierda de mí. For real. People are like, no.
¿Y esto fue a Columbia University? Or
I got in trouble. I got in real, not in bad trouble, but in trouble at a work event like 6 months ago.
Uh-oh.
I was talking about the host
state
of
the
this
world.
Party. Oh. No, I was talking about the host of the party. And I was not saying anything bad. I was saying, like, you know, addressed like that, you know, you really need to know. It said in Spanish, I said, para poner un vestido como ese, hay que tener las grandes. Uno cojones así. You have to have balls. You have to have big balls. And she was like, ah, sí, te gusta. And I was like, because I was a little bit making fun of her. Do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't entirely nice.
Right. It was...
in the tone. But she let me off the hook.
It was giving so Michelle Pfeiffer in Hairspray. Uh-huh. And she's like, you could stop traffic. To Tracy Turnblad.
Yes, exactly. She let me off the hook with that one. Mm. And then it happened... it wasn't on a date... Huh?
No, people just laughing at you saying, people be speaking Spanish.
They do a little bit. Not a lot of bit, but just
enough.
More than Ariana DeBose and less than me.
Work.
My God. Wow. So not too much of it at all. No, but that's an important thing that I... But okay, gowns. Very, very beautiful gowns. Should we turn to TV? Let's talk
Well, what am I going to want to talk about? You know what?
Love Island?
Ooh. You're going to kill me, but I just haven't started it yet. I'm sorry.
He hasn't watched yet.
I haven't watched. You know what, actually? Do you guys want to sell me on something? I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something to watch.
Well,
I'm looking for...
on at 9, Sundays, maybe Saturday, morning cartoons.
We're going to sell you on it. So, you know, since we started Tres Leches, there have been kind of social media and TV moments that have captured our imagination. And one of those is back that Johnny and I kind of liked separately. We haven't really discussed it all too much together, but we're really trying to get Ian in on it.
In on it.
And it is Love Island.
You know, I watched season one. So season one was like during COVID, season right? That's one. When people really got into it and stuff. Wasn't there
So Love Island
has existed for quite some time in the UK.
That's where I started watching the UK.
Uh-huh.
And that is the one that got me. That it did get me during the pandemic.
Because I think I used to watch that with Chris.
I was like all about it, love. And then the US wanted to, you know, colonize. Or not, sorry, not colonize, but
appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate. Mm-hmm. That's borrow. What we do. They colonize, we appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
So we, you
or
know,
like
we
what Ian Padgett does, which is he borrows, which is steal.
Right, right. She tries it on for a little and she returns.
Yeah. I wore your Shades of Grey shirt, by the way, on Saturday.
Huh?
I wore your Shades of Grey shirt on Saturday. You left it here. You're going to get it back on Wednesday, obviously. But no pictures were taken, so you didn't see it. But I wore it and I got many, many compliments on it. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Period. No.
You don't remember. Wow.
Watch me see it and be like, that's where my fucking shirt has been.
I don't know how you forget where your clothing is. To me, my clothing is so... I know, but my clothing is so important. And it's like, I buy it because I love it. And so if I lose that, like, I remember, I feel it. It's this one.
Yes, I did leave that, didn't I? That's a cute picture.
Yes.
That's a great picture. Nice glasses.
So the person who took the picture was like, I think you should try the glasses on. I was like, oh, okay. So I tried them on. He goes, I think we should take a picture. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he took a picture and I saw it and I was like, oh, okay.
I think we need a photo here.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Well.
Who was the owner of the glasses, just out of curiosity?
I met him that night. He was a nice guy. Se llama Nico. Pero también tenía un novio. Tenía dos novios. Dos novios. Están, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Cómo dices? Like, couple. Bueno, sí. Poli, whatever. En español. Y fueron muy, muy sensibles. Pero solo me gustaba uno. So.
Classic Ian Padgett.
Uh-huh.
By the way, se dice, I just looked it up because I didn't know. It is poliamor. So poliamor. Serían poliamorosos.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh. Bueno, Nico y los dos otros están en una relación poliamoroso.
¿Sa?
Right. Una relación. Oh, yeah, relación está female. Poliamorosa. Is that what you said? No. Amorosa? No.
Yeah.
Amorosa.
Poliamorosa.
Amorosa,
Poliamorosa. Poliamorosa.
Poliamorosa. Yeah. Y, bueno, they were very, very nice. And that's that.
This is what I want to see. This is what I mean about Love Island. That's what I you know, because Ian doesn't watch Love Island, unfortunately. But what I wanted to discuss was the idea. So Love Island, just to get it out there, it is a place where single people come. It's an island for the summer.
Oh, I love
everyone
it so much.
Couples up. They're supposed to, you know, they get in, they find someone that they couple up with, and every episode or every other episode, they bring in a new bombshell has entered the villa. And you just see the way people react when the new bitch comes through. And guess what? The new bitch is usually always hotter than the bitches that are already currently there. Because you got to shake it up. You got to have someone there.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to produce a gay Love Island.
Wow.
And that's your conversation just made me think of that. Because gay men specifically are so poliamorosas, there's just a lot more layers to what yes. it could actually look like.
Because a lot of the drama on Love Island is always like, no, she's mine. No, he's mine. I only want one and you only want one. And like right. sometimes there's a little bit of overlap. Yes, there's like yeah. there's definitely been trifectas for sure and beyond. But it's usually that. So, but on the gay version, I feel like there's a world in which there would be
more
thickness in
more
that.
Thickness, more nuance.
Yes. So, yeah.
Is there any sort of nuance on this one though with like anyone being bi? I would think. No.
Okay.
Not so far.
They give there's plenty of contestants that give gay energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you spot it and you're like,
yes. Mm-hmm,
she yeah. likes a little bit of dip and dots.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. banana split flavor,
yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
God, dip and dots. Wow. What a wonderful thing. There's
always a love
thing.
Triangle. There's always like, I'm kind of in a triangle right now.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of me, and she's come into the villa, and I just don't like, I don't like that. And she's
literally.
Her. And, you know.
Johnny's Love Island is better than Love Island. You do it better than they do.
Yeah, one of your next characters should just be like Johnny Sibley as Adele.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes, yes. but you know,
did you just say pride sucks?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's
something.
My concert.
Oh, so good. God.
She is. Okay, Adele is my. As Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady when.
Work.
Now that is a revival I'd want to see.
Cast.
Oh my God. She would be amazing.
I don't know if she'd like that schedule, though.
No, it'd have to be one performance every 8 weeks.
Period.
But you yeah. know, all the false. Oh, sorry. All the head voice, like legit singing, would actually be really good for her, unless
yeah,
unless she blew way too much air to just whatever. But I think it would actually be good for her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It would be good for her.
It would make her pop stuff stronger.
Yeah.
So, what I love about Love Island is that it embraces. I love things that. Embrace the context of where they exist. That it is 2024. I like that it does not pretend to be like create these like The Bachelor tries to yes. hearken back to a time of this right. and that and goodness and values. No. It gets to be both those things. Love Island is so interesting because it's like, I actually kind of do believe that most people, even at their sluttiest, are looking for love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when they're being skanks.
Right.
And this show embraces people who know that. Mm-hmm. The people on this show are not there like,
Yeah.
No, can't touch me. It's like, no, maybe not tonight, but like tomorrow.
For sure.
Like, you can't on the first night, but tomorrow. There are people who are aware that, like, you can be superficial, mm-hmm. and you can fall in love fast, and you can fall out of love fast. It feels very realistic to me.
Yeah.
Even though the stakes are so weird, it's the weirdest show ever, because it's like the couple that is the favorite wins mm-hmm. money. I mean, that's really the competition. The audience favorite.
Oh.
The couple that is
voted on.
Yes, by us.
Are you voting?
Well, okay. For the UK version, it premieres after the fact. But the US,
yes, exactly.
I think you can for sure.
Yeah, you can.
Oh my God, I love it.
And there's this thing called Casa Amor, which comes very late in the season where they all, like all the guys or all the girls will go to a different house and they will bring in like 5 new guys that will just blow your mind. And so everyone in that time is always, because they're not there. Like the bombshell that enters the villa has to be with everyone. But
yes.
Casa Amor is like, you're not going to see any of the guys that I'm potentially talking to. And you're not going to see any of the girls that I'm potentially talking to. So
exactly.
they're just... And that's when it's really tested to see if like they really want to be with that person or if they.
I see. Oh, I see what you're saying. I see.
Yeah.
Ooh, I do like that. That is a fun social experiment to watch.
And the only thing that kind of breaks my heart about Love Island sometimes. This is more, this is, it's just already popped up in this season more so than it has in other times. Like,
tell me.
That there is, in this season, which is what season, Johnny? We're in season.
US is season six.
US UK season is like six.
11, maybe. Okay.
Of the US versions that I've seen, I think I've missed one or two. Mm-hmm. There are, the men are all kind of about the same. There isn't like, there's always one or two guys who are much hotter, right? And the same with the women. But on this season, there's really like three guys who are so much, they're really, really, really hot. And then there's one guy that everyone's like, whoa, no one can compete with him. He's 6'6". He's this gorgeous chocolate black he's a god, okay? He's like six. How tall is he? 6'8"?
6'8".
He's 6'8" and handsome. Yeah. Handsome! Because sometimes it's six, you know, sometimes when you get that big, the proportions start to go a little... Every which way.
Uh-huh.
No. Everything matches. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. So, like, he's going to win anyone he wants, kind of. Mm. And then they've got this other guy. What's his name? Oh, my God. I need to look.
I don't know, but it sounds like you have a little, like, tiernito.
You're going to have to believe this when you air it.
Yes.
Honey, it's a Picasso.
Yes.
He's tall, but the face is sliding.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes are sliding off to the side. Mm-hmm. Mouth looks like the grimace from old McDonald's, meal.
Yes, we're talking about someone who we're not going to mention on the podcast, whose proportions, who is extremely tall, whose proportions have left Leonardo da Vinci's skin, his axis.
Yes.
By the way, that voice you're hearing is Andrew Chappelle again, who just today, when this releases, has a new podcast with Cody Rigsby, Tactful Pettiness. Please go download it.
And she just gave you a little preview of that.
Correct.
Exactly. She just gave us a real, real preview of the pettiness. And I have been a fly on the wall, and it's so, so good. You're just going to absolutely love it. So wait till you see that.
Juan has been walking the path with us.
Yes, I have definitely
been. Leading us down the path.
I have been definitely walking down the path with you.
Holding a lantern like Ichabod Crane in Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
Okay. Leading us to shelter and safety.
Work.
So now let's just hope there's Wi-Fi when we get there. Okay, wait.
Oh my God.
So the really tall, sexy one.
Yeah.
His name is Coy. Okay. Uh-huh. He's 28 years old. He's like gorgeous, and he's got a good job. And then the one I'm talking about, who's not so cute, is this little one named Cordell.
Oh, I think Cordell is cute.
He's 21, but you know you're in trouble. All the women, by the way, for some reason, are like brilliant. They're like, there's one who's kind of like, she has no job or nothing. But the others are like, yeah, I'm in sales. I'm a pharmaceutical salesperson. I sell devices. Oh, I'm this. I'm pursuing my PhD. And they're like gorgeous girls. And poor
Cordell. Gorgeous, but no less annoying.
No less annoying. they act like they ain't got no job. Right. But they do have jobs.
They do
but
have jobs.
Sweet Cordell, he's like, one of the smart girls is like, so what do you want to do? And Cordell says, you know, well, I want to be an actor. I want to be an actor influencer. And she's like, okay. And when he goes, well, like, and he goes, and I'm really interested in doing deals. I want to do brand deals. It's like,
aww.
Okay.
He's 21. He's 21.
Okay. And then she's like, what kind of deals? And he says, what did he say, Johnny? Do you remember?
Was it the one about the mortgage?
No, it was like chips or something.
Oh, aww. Yes. I'm thinking about when he said, you know, something about, he's like, I want to own a house, but the mortgage is just low or like are low or there's that. Like, it was just very like, oh, I bought a seat.
I know. So the thing is, what I'm trying to describe to you about this season of Love Island is it seems like the cards don't seem stacked quite exactly right in favor of everyone. But you say you think Cordell's cute.
Yeah, I think he's cute.
There's an asterisk for every saddle.
Correct. He serves a purpose for someone else's fantasy.
And that's the thing. That is why I want a gay Love Island. Also, one of the things I love about Love Island is that it's not trying to be smart. It's not trying to be anything that it's not. It's about young, hot people having a summer together, getting to know each other, kissing, having sex maybe. I want that for the girls. Like, I want that for gay men. I mean, they already have it on Fire Island, P-Town, da-da-da. But I want a very much secluded place where a new Ian or Juan walks into the villa and the girls are like, oh, now that is my type on paper. Like,
would you? Mm-hmm. So, see, you mentioned earlier there's a sort of order as to how they
were going to ask this.
Sort of how they bust out new characters. And
No. You 1,000% would be a bombshell, because here's also the thing.
Oh, a bomb! Oh my God, I get it. A bombshell. We're dropping a bombshell.
Exactly.
Oh my
God. Here's the thing about you would be a bombshell because in your nature you like to shake things up.
Yeah.
In your nature. And that's the thing. That's how they cast this, too. Like, the people that are in the beginning, they are, you know, they are, like, the people, the prom court, the homecoming court, and, you know, the friend group. You just see them getting on really easily. But then the girls come in. And that's not to say that the bombshells don't acclimate and they then join the party. And it's, but when they walk in, you're like, oh, period. Yes. You know, so...
Like Carrie coming to the prom and lighting everything up on fire.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
and right. You have to have a certain kind of energy. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, at the beginning, they're, like, the great personality, nice, hot, sweet, like, earnest, great, like, they're great.
They, like, walk old ladies across the street. To be a bombshell, you have to be a little bit like, I'm here to fuck shit up.
Mm-hmm. You have to fuck people. You have to be someone who can fuck people's boyfriends.
You're like, I know he's with you, but... You know, but that's how they are. Like, but
you have
it's
to.
Also
that's
produced.
The hope, because everyone's
like,
got a boyfriend when you get there. Yeah, so you can't be like, oh my God, everyone's taken. You'd be like, oh no, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get later into the season, the people watch the show, so they know how the girls are being treated in the villa. So they're like, I'm coming in to show you what a real man will treat you like.
Correct.
And
it's like,
yeah.
And it's sometimes great. The bombshell gets, no, all does the bombshell always get to choose like a private to take one?
Usually they're usually the one that does the recoupling, because they do a recouple every like two or three episodes.
Yeah.
So that's when the shakeup really happens.
And the bombshell has to be very confident, because you're going to recouple. And after the recoupling, the person who you chose may not be that into. They may have been happy.
Yeah.
They may have been kind of happy. You're still hot, so they're going to fuck you or want to have sex with you. But they liked the person. And you have to be like, come on.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Ian's like, hi, can I speak to my agent? This seems like the perfect role for me.
It would be great. I think it would be great. I think a gay Love Island would be so great.
Yes, I'm sure. Yep. I can't wait to see what Andrew Chappelle is what his faces have said when you said that.
He can't wait to see Andrew Chappelle's face when he says that. Andrew went,
I just want to be the host. I want to be the host.
Ooh, that would be fun.
The host just gets the fiercest job. They walk in every other day, and when they walk in, you know shit's about to go down.
What do they do in the downtime?
They just sit around and talk.
That's the host.
Why they fall. Oh, the host. Oh, probably like, I don't know, dine at the Four Seasons and.
Must be very relaxing.
Are they in Hawaii?
They're in Mallorca in the UK, and then in the US Virgin, I think they're in Fiji.
Ooh, nice.
Or Bali, nice. One of those.
But they're far. They're in the middle of nowhere, so the host has to be there and just look sickening. And this season, it's what's her name from Vanderpump Rules?
Ariana?
Ariana Maddox.
Oh, Chicago's own.
Chicago's own Ariana Maddox. A woman slighted.
Wow.
A woman slighted.
She's knew that being eating. Slighted would have gotten you so much,
honey? Listen,
PR.
If Beyonce didn't teach you anything about what happens after being slighted, Miss Ariana, what's her last name? Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a lesson.
Do the left, do the left.
Oh
Wait, speaking of Love Island, Ian, where were you this weekend? You were very quiet on the group chat.
Oh, I, on Saturday I had an hour and a half, like, walk with myself, and I listened to a podcast that... Why are you laughing?
I don't know why you're laughing.
No, it's just funny. It was just like the way you described that. It was so detailed. It was like, well, Saturday I did an hour and a half. I thought you were going to like, I did an hour and a half walk followed by a very.
I did an hour and a half walk. And it was because I listened to a podcast that you guys have to listen to. It's Rich Roll. I forget who the guest was, but it's the writer of The Power of Habit. And he wrote a new book called Super Communicators. And a friend was like, you would love this because we were talking about NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which is essentially like getting people to say or do what it is you want by literally programming it into them yourself, which I think I'm very good at and is helpful when you're, you know, handling personalities every day in your life and that sort of work from home social media life. And so anyway, I listened to that podcast and I had one of the – and I'm not Juan Torres Falconing here. I had one of the best times at a party that I have ever had, I think, like in my life, one of them. My two new friends – who I met on Fire Island in the last couple weeks throw a annual pride party, and they had a pride party on Saturday, and so I went.
Is this Brian and Jake?
No. These are new people. Okay. These are new friends. Nice. Even though I met Ali last year, and anyway, and they're just one of those. They're those energies that of people who go like, oh, like you're normal people who just happen to be gay. Do you know what I mean? Like no holding, just
what
fun.
Oh,
just like,
I was like, what does that mean?
Like they're when I met. Here's what it means is when I met them, they were the same person the first time I met them. To like they I never felt a. They were like sussing me out, or they were holding on to themselves as we were making impressions with it. Do you know what I mean? Like it was just so
very
like
genuine,
genuine, and came up to me, and they were very, very open energy, right? And anyway, they threw a party in their backyard in Brooklyn, and their friend Max, who DJed, I literally first thing I said was like, I want him to do weddings. I want him to do my wedding, and then. A guest standing next to me was like, they did Sam and Ali's wedding. And I was like, of course, because they're best friends and they've known each other since college. And it was just truly the most fun I've ever had. Played Baby One More Time at one point. Like, just like all the goodies, all the oldies and hits, and just everyone having like a girly fun time. It was like very mixed, like giving straight. Kind of, you know, Mr. Sunday, LA, kind of Brooklyn vibes. Do you know what I mean? But like, but I really like Sabrina Carpenter, Espresso came on and everybody lost it. Well, and I just felt, I think for me specifically, what was keeping me off my phone was that I was just so like unabashedly, like very free. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And having a good time. And, like, lip-syncing and, like, doing that thing that you do with, like, maybe you're, like, three or four girls that you don't want to see, let the world see, whatever, some of that stuff. But we were just doing it. Everyone's just, like, posing and dancing and, like, having that kind of fun. And when I tell you I dance from 6 p.m. to midnight, like, I had to literally be like, okay, I need something to eat. Like, because you just didn't want to stop. It was, like, Murder on the Dance Floor came on and a mix of this. and then we, like, went into that. It was just so
Hairspray opposite came. Of what you were feeling on at that other time when the music wasn't good.
Correct.
So it was, like, it had enough. We were dancing, but it was guilty pleasure, but it wasn't sexual, but fun. And...
Correct. It was amazing. And... just so much glee in the air, you know what I mean? And I met many, many people that I'm like, wow, I'm a lot of Brooklyn gays that I don't know, didn't know, but know now. And
good
I'm
to
just
know.
Like, good to know Brooklyn gays. And yeah, and just it was just an overall really, really good vibe. So I just wasn't on my phone a lot. And then Sunday I was at the pier with friends. And it's just been a really nice weekend of, like, being outside. And I also took a breathwork class on Friday.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, it was – oh, that's right. I voice memoed you that. It was incredible. Like, I had taken one before but not as intense in this as this. And apparently this technique that was taught by – I forget his name because he doesn't teach here. He, like, lives somewhere else. But this technique is supposed to mimic what it feels like when you take – like, you know, psilocybin or that kind of like a euphoric reaction in your body, you know, kind of like at one point we were done and I was like, oh my God, this feels like when you're coming up from like taking a Molly or something like that. You know what I mean? And that's how like much my body was like in this place. And at one point towards the end, I was like eyes closed. And you know how you see a different world when you close your eyes and there's like the different colors and lights when, do you know what I'm talking about? Like you can like see, but its eyes are closed. And at one point I was like coming out of whatever state I was in. And I kid you not, I thought I was looking, I was like, oh, there's my Patronus. I can like see this like animal like staring at me in this other world. And it was this very majestic and like gorgeous beaver. It was like a beaver looking at me. And he was just like right about, you know, I'm laying down and there's this thing that happens where your hands cramp because your body gets very so oxygenated. It's something to do with, I don't know. It's called tetan or it's like a T word where.
Tinnitus?
No, it's something else. I really had never heard this word before, but it's like everyone goes through it. He's like, you're going to cramp, your hands are going to cramp, and like just breathe through it, and it's not a big deal. And it was just this like fascinating experience. Like it took me 10 minutes to get up, and like you just look at everybody after, and everyone is in their own little like world or zone. And it's kind of like you just went on a roller coaster in your body. It's like this emotional and very, very, very cathartic car wash, but like emotional car wash in your body. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I had
all that
from
breathing.
Like all that, baby. That's all you had
and
to do.
And how long was the session?
An hour.
Was an is hour there long. Any movement? Or was it really just
nope.
strictly?
Yeah, you put on an eye mask. Wow. He walks you through in the first like five,
are
10 minutes.
Are there bells?
No, he plays music.
Oh, he plays music.
Yeah, so like you're truly going on this like sound bath, if you will, journey, and it was
holy moly,
it was amazing.
Would you say it opened you up for the weekend?
I think so. I think so. I definitely think like taking time to honor and do new things always just feels good. There's that sort of inner reward feeling that happens, you know, when you're like, oh, I did something new today that like on a Friday night was, you know, maybe not the norm. You're thinking like you go for a drink and this and that, but that was so much more nutritious for me. And so my Saturday and Sunday, I was just like ready and gunning. And it just felt like everything fell into place. Saturday was just another perfect day of great energy. And I knew I was like, I'm going to dance today and we're going to have a ball. And we did. And then Sunday was like, I'm going to be outside and I'm going to be outgoing. Like, I don't know. I just feel very in the driver's seat of my mood these days.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that intention.
Oh, that
like,
is a
we're
very
do
good
this.
Place to be.
We're going
to
go and we're going to dance and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Rather than
yeah.
like, oh my God, who's going to be there? Is it going to be, what oh, is the music like? Going to be good? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So that's why I maybe was quiet a little bit. Nothing crazy. No scheming. No minxing going on. But it is Monday, so just give me a few days. I'm sure I could find something to fuck up. But
what's the difference between Brooklyn gays and Manhattan gays?
I didn't know them. No, I didn't know them, and it's a style thing. I mean, it's just they're like. I really.
I mean, there are very stylish. There are very stylish Manhattan gays.
Of course, no, of course.
But overall, you know, Brooklyn is the place to be. The cooler kids are there.
Yeah, it's and yeah, and it was like a couple people I knew, but then there were these people walks of life that you're like, oh, like you're. They all feel like artists. They all feel like the people you want to have that fun, like girly time with. You know. No one was holding. Let's put it that way. No one.
Yeah,
was
they feel like they also still work as VP of sales at Procter & Gamble, but they're
correct.
Just.
Yes, our just hosts, wearing our hosts heart. Are lawyers. Our hosts are lawyers who are just super fun.
Yeah, gay men don't do. They're, you know, change, you know, where gay men used to always be artists and writers and creatives. Now they want to be. Lawyers and bankers and I don't blame
and,
them.
But,
I don't blame
but
them.
They also go to Burning Man and do art and Etsy
correct.
On the side.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
actually,
do both. They haven't given
I
it up.
I would say
exactly
that
right.
is that's a really great way to describe that the energy this Saturday was more of a Burning Man, like way more like boho chic, but you know VP of sales during the week kind of thing, compared to Horse Meat Disco. Does that kind of put it
yes.
into
plain? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm with you.
And it was really lovely. It was really, really lovely.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
And you went to Six Flags, Johnny?
Oh, my God. That's right. Yeah,
we went to Six Flags. Philip surprised me with a trip to Six Flags. Yeah, it was just the two of us. The two of us and lots of teenagers.
Yeah. It's Six Flags over Magic Mountain. Is that what it's called?
Yes, Magic Mountain. It's in, right outside of Los Angeles proper. It was great. It was so fun. We just got our passes and we just rode the ride. Philip is obsessed with roller coasters. That is like favorite thing. He used to grow up playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, looking up the biggest roller coasters in the world. Like, so he is about that life. So he wanted to go and it was really fun. And
that's awesome.
I was like looking at the kids and at first I was like, oh my God, they're so annoying and loud. And I was like, you know what? This is their Coachella. This is their, this is their moment.
That's what I was going to ask you is how are you around that? Does it make you feel like, oh my God, I love this. It's bringing me back to that young energy. Or are you like, I'm so happy.
It brings me back for a second and then it takes me to my, annoyed 30-something-year-old self where it's like, could we just be a little quieter? Did no one teach you manners? You can't hold spots in line, kid. Little things
like
that.
The making out in the line, the putting the hand in the butt pocket of your boyfriend or girlfriend, and holding them. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was.
I used to love that shit.
Were there a lot of gay people, gay teenagers?
No, I didn't really see any actually. Yeah, I didn't.
Just Philip.
It was like me and
Philip. They had rehearsal.
And he's such a bitch.
Juan missed it. Did you hear what I said, Juan?
What did you say?
I said, just Philip.
No.
She's calling my man a teenager. I know she ain't talking.
No, I am certainly not. I don't think any of us actually, including Miss Chappelle, who's in the other room.
What is it? Well, should we get into spilled milk? We have a couple.
We have some good ones, actually.
Yeah? Ooh, can't wait for the heavy cream on this one.
But we'll be right back. Welcome back,
hi, everybody.
Milkers. Oh, I know you missed us. Oh, so we got your spilled milk. We asked for you to just give us, some leche, some kernels of your own personal drama. If you wanted some advice, but we're going to go through one that is kind of topical because we were just talking about age. And this one says, age gap in relationships. I'm 43 right now and I met my 29-year-old that I'm interested in. Oh, okay. A 29-year-old that I'm interested in. All right. Well.
Listen, I've dated someone 10 years younger than me and.
Was it 10 years?
It was like 10, maybe even, it might have even like close, because of when he turned 11, I think, actually, too.
Mm-hmm. He turned 11?
Yeah, exactly. police!
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, exactly, literally. I'm not going to chuck it up to, I don't think anything ever is ever the thing you're thinking, the reason for something to work or not isn't just age gap. I think that's very easy to kind of chalk it up to. And I have many friends who are in, actually, that's not even that much of an age gap, but I have ones who are even 15, 17 year age gaps and they are married and in very, very secure, successful relationships, super advanced and
houses in the Hamptons, darling.
Well, and it's
multiple
and it's
in Kensington, darling.
Yes, of course, darling.
Well, sort of less superficial, but I was going to go there, I really see them love each other, and I see the way that the younger one helps care for, Chris, and then how Chris loves it, and is like, there's something so beautiful about watching two people decide to love each other, when one has experienced 17 years more of life, and the other one still hasn't yet. They get to try new things on.
Indeed.
So I'm here for it if it works for you, and then when it doesn't, you tackle that when you need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like age is linear. Yes, we do get, you're 34 and then you're 35 and then you're 36, but it is dynamic also. The difference between 29 and 43 is very different than the difference between 19 and 33. That is
right.
totally different. Yes. You know? So I actually don't think that the age gap between 29 and 43 is really all that big. Mm. You're, yeah, on that either side of your 30s, but there's a shorthand because you've experienced a lot of the big similar decisions. You're in the thick of adulthood together.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a perfectly reasonable age gap. I wouldn't even bat an eye at it twice.
Yeah.
I am a very age conscious person. I think about aging and age constantly. So it's not that I write a blank check for all differently aged relationships. I do think that there are sometimes that it can be inappropriate, age gaps for many different reasons. It's not just, you know, over 20 or less than 20 is good or more than 20 is bad or whatever. It's not that easy to define. But I think as long as you feel that, you know, that you like the person and that they're okay with it, then go for it. If someone is giving you shit about 29 to 43, do me a favor. Grow up.
Mm. Yeah. Well, people will give you shit no matter what.
Correct.
But, you know, it is, you know, as someone who has very vocally on this podcast said that that people that are younger than me have nothing to offer me, like, what am I going to do with a 26-year-old and then find myself with exactly that, a 26-year-old? And, you know, there's a 10-year gap. And, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, in my specific instance, I feel like there's just a meeting of it's just like a plug, like when you meet that match that you know, he's like old souly and I'm like can't grow up-y a little bit. Mm. And there's like that little, like, I talk to him in TikTok lingo and he gets it too because he's of that age, not because he necessarily is trying to do that like I am, like trying to stay with it and trying to, you know, because I also just love newness. I love new, you know, but there's also something to be said that there is things that I've learned in the past 10 years that I'm realizing he has not experienced. And so it's very interesting. It's
Name
a very...
Him.
Yeah.
Name.
There's just a lot of, you know, stuff just with being a gay man that's like, oh, I've seen a lot in 10 years. You know, and you can go 10 years and not see anything, but I have seen a lot. And, you know, there's things that he has not seen. So it's funny to think we have this shorthand as 30-something-year-old men that we like, oh, yeah, because you know how the girls are. That he doesn't know how the girls are in the same way. He knows how the girls are in his own way. But I think that's such... Whereas before I would have saw that as like a detriment to the relationship, I see it as such a wonderful way of being able to experience things again through someone else.
Mm. I love that.
Connection, yeah.
And I wish, you know, I always say I wish at 26 I had someone like me in a relationship.
Oh God. You
know, I had that in my 30s, but back in my when you're really coming into, cuz gays mostly in their 20s, a lot of gay men come into themselves in their 20s, you know, because we have to do things later. But I wish I had someone that was supportive and, you know, wanted to see me thrive. And not that I didn't have that, it just came out much more toxically than
well,
that. So
they maybe they want you to thrive, but and you found someone supportive and who had your best interests at heart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But how much life had they lived?
Right.
That how much could they season your casserole with their knowledge and experience? You could not have said it better. Immediately it sent chills down my spine because I really wish I had had someone like that when I was 26.
Yeah.
You know, so to our milker here, I think about all the wonderful things that you can contribute to your 29-year-old's life.
Right.
I mean,
all the things you can think.
You know, and I'm not even talking about the superficial things, although those things help too.
They do. They do.
They do.
All right, well, the next little spilled milk is actually quite literally spilled milk.
Ooh.
It is from one of our milkers. It says, I slept with my professor the day after graduation.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you, girl.
What a professional
thing to do.
A scholar. You waited.
Absolutely, yes.
And, you got your degree, you got your diploma, and then you sat on it instead of sitting on it before the grade was published.
Correct.
Because a lot of the girls would want to be doing it during class to get that edge. But she said, no, I'm going to get this on my merit, and then I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. She also could have just passed with a D, and then she got the D. You know what I mean?
Does one pass with a D?
I think you can pass. Like, if everything else is, I don't remember. It's been such a long time.
I don't think you can pass with a D.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can pass with a D. Yeah, you can get a D. Yeah, a high D. Yeah.
Well,
you can get a pass with a D, apparently.
Word.
Yes. No, but I see.
Yes.
Yes,
of course.
The professor was speaking to me.
Have you guys ever seen the what is her name? My God, I can't believe I'm forgetting the actress's name. Andrew, help me. The actress who is, she was on Fresh Prince Bel-Air. She's very, very
Tatiana
famous. She's the godmother of Black Hollywood.
Jennifer Lewis.
Thank you.
Jennifer Lewis was doing an interview. It's hilarious. And her ADD just takes over because like someone
distracted her.
Is distracting.
And she was saying something, and she's like, "I love you, Jennifer." She's like, "Yes."
She goes, "Yes." What was your question?
Yes.
No, but I'm very, very proud of you for waiting until the end. Also, because I really kind of, I know it's kind of frowned upon to
sleep with the educator,
sleep with your bosses or your professors, but it's tempting, and you resisted the temptation. And in 2024, we know better than we shouldn't. You know, we shouldn't indulge when the power differential can compromise things. So you did the right thing.
I agree.
She waited till the scales were balanced and said.
And you said,
hopefully.
Summa cum.
Loud.
But loud, okay? Loud.
Work. So this next one is always going to be a hot button issue. Ooh. It says,
I'm sweating.
Hung guys thinking their schlong does all the work. No, ma'am.
No.
Thoughts?
Well, actually, I've had really good experiences with people who are very well endowed and also knew exactly how to use it.
Oh, so Yes, I have.
Oh my God, are you saying that hasn't happened to you?
No,
of
listen.
Course.
I call guys with big ones. I call them a park and bark. That's sometimes. When you can take up so much space, you don't really have to do much. But
the weight.
But there's downsides to having big meat. You know, there's more blood. And listen, not everyone has enough blood not everyone's circulation is working on all cylinders.
Mm.
But you know, when the circulation meets the meat. Yeah. Baby,
we got it. Yeah, I think what our milker may be referencing to, and I have definitely experienced this when someone is beautifully endowed and they feel like they don't really have to do much. And you know what? For a true, like if someone's a real, real size queen, they really don't. Like, let the receiver receive and do and put you where they need to be because you've got the gift. That's fine. But sometimes what can happen, and this is maybe gilding the lily to this question or to this inquiry, to this little cup of half and half that they've left for us to respond to. But, you know, sometimes I find when someone's really, really well endowed, I'm not crazy about the dialogue of like, oh, my dick, my giant dick. Oh, yeah, it's so good. I like that. But I do like that. Fine.
Yeah.
But it can get a little bit like, okay, yeah, so like...
We get it.
We get it. Your dick is great.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I like a little bit more of like, I prefer how good does this feel inside of you? Yeah, I like that a little bit better. Because it's about centered around me and my experience.
Yeah, what you like rather than like, I know you like this big shit.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen a dick like that? You know, that can
happen. Yes, I have, actually. Yes, you're the third one this day.
Correct. On this day.
Work.
Wait, yeah. So I think what I also am like, maybe I'm just projecting what I'm reading from this is
I just was, yes.
You know, because it was basically like hung guys thinking their schlong does all the work. No, ma'am. It's kind of like this bottom to me feels like, baby, I am giving you Cirque du Soleil on this dick. If you don't put in some effort, a little bit of swerve on it, and you're just laying there getting all. I think that's what they're basically saying. It's like, this is an equal opportunity, you know, effort.
Yes, because Cirque du Soleil took me out. That sent me to the hospital. I will tell you
so
that.
So good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also doing something amazing. You have that amazing gift, but can everyone do what I'm doing on that? Well, you know, nowadays, everyone can do that on that. They just know what they're doing. Bottoms have stretched out.
Oh.
They're ready.
I think what the kids call gaping. This is Tres Leches After Dark, I guess.
This is getting Patreon. That. Yeah.
But if you live in New York, baby, this could be at any hour of the day. Someone is getting
breakfast.
Well,
I actually just found out the term boyfriend. Like, someone was like, "Oh, is it giving boyfriend?" And I was like, "What are you guys talking about?"
They're
like,
"Boyfriend dick is, you know, it's like six. Goldilocks dicks, not too big, not too small, just
right."
Right. Yeah, you just could get you could take that often and it won't break the bank.
I could maybe also take something a little bigger often and it won't break the bank.
Yeah. Would you say you guys are size queens?
No.
Be honest.
I think I enjoy it and I like it. And I you know what? Like, I might be a bit of a size queen a little bit. But I'm also not.
Because sometimes you go over boys who are like, sometimes you go after boys who are obviously not going to be like super well endowed.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Obviously not well endowed. What is your barometer for what's obviously well endowed or not? she's like, don't act like you can't see it from a mile away.
You can tell typically. I mean, there's always surprises, but, surprise, you know, but overall, we talked about proportions on people who are 6'8 and the way that things work. You know, sometimes when someone is a short person, well, not that short, I'm 5'8.
Smaller person?
I'm not 6'4. When someone is 6'4, you assume that there's a greater likelihood that things are going to be a certain way. When someone is 5'4, and Ian will often go over between 4'8 and 5'3 sometimes. Wow. He'll have a shorter man, too.
Wow. I do like a short king.
You do.
I do.
Yeah. So, but no, I think four. You're a little bit of a size queen. Are you a size queen, Johnny?
No. I like them all shapes and sizes.
I do, too.
I am an aesthetics queen, that's for sure. I like them pretty.
I like weight also, by the way.
Oh,
so it doesn't matter. Girth. Maybe you have to be big.
No, yeah, I think there's a preoccupation with length and not enough of preoccupation with
strength.
Well, strength and, that's what I mean about circulation. When the blood is flowing, it's strong.
Uh-huh. Was that Restoration or Wayfair? That was.
Don't ask questions you don't want. That I don't want to give you the answer to. No, but my size queenishness is really about height. I love a tall man. I love it. I love it. I love him. I love him. I like it.
I love how she grabs the mic with both hands.
But a big, tall man, skinny, tall man. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it. So
the skinny ones do be packing.
They do. Mm. But sometimes not. But
no, sometimes
and but sometimes not.
But that's the thing we have to learn is that, you know, you don't know until you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And even when it isn't, you know, a huge, and that's also the thing. People's idea of what's big, I've noticed, is really subjective. And what works is subjective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to each their own, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they are the size of Texas, a Mississippi might walk up and you're like, oh, that's kind of small. But then like maybe.
But this ain't Texas.
This ain't Texas. I haven't heard that song in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It's all been espresso, an espresso machine.
It came on Saturday. That came on. It was so great, you guys. So great.
That's the mean espresso.
Actually, I made a targeted comment on our thread to Juan listeners, which I didn't realize was targeted Juan to
Juan listeners?
But,
what does that mean?
No, to Juan, listeners. Because we were talking about something, I think maybe, I don't remember, and Johnny, you were like, let me see them, and I sent you pictures of something, and then I was like, they're tall, so they're happy. And then Juan was like, I think that's targeted at me.
Mm-hmm.
LOL, it made me laugh.
It is.
It was a very you take on their tallness.
By the way, before we go out, I have something that needs to be cleared up because the meme has become very popular again. Like Rachel, Rachel Jesus.
Show it to me, Rachel.
I have to clear something up. It is, and you both just did it. That's why I didn't say it. It is not, you're missing the best part of this fucking video. It's not show it to me, Rachel. It's show me to me, Rachel. Show me to me, Rachel. Show me to me. Do you understand the fucking poetry in that?
Yeah.
Do you understand the poetry? Show me to me, Rachel. Right. Show the world what I am. Show me to me. Show the world what religion has done to my brain.
Ooh.
What being a white woman in America has done to me. Show me to me,
Rachel.
And it's also show me to me, Rachel. I love Jesus so much. He's a part of my heart.
He's a part of me.
Show me to me.
Correct. Yes. It's actually so sweet. It's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. you in your Christian era?
Me?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean exactly?
I'd just love it if you went into like a Christian era where you were like, imagine? I love Jesus.
Oh, I thought you said,
get ready with me to go to church.
I love you, Jesus.
She said service is so good. She sends us a voice memo about service.
Oh my God.
Work.
Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Oh yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Jesus loves.
Do you guys ever remember her singing that? Rachel Maron, played by Whitney Houston on Bodyguard.
Oh.
That's where I learned that song.
Really? Bible tells me so.
So good.
Mm-hmm. There is something about gospel that will.
I will tell you this. If I'm going to change his name, I'll bleep it out, but I'm also going to change it now. For if went to Westminster, ask Ian to go to St. Patrick's.
Oh yeah. If she asked Ian to devote her life to Christ, she said. Call me Judah.
You guys, that's not fair. I mute that person on purpose, and now you're using it as a weapon, and it's.
But so did you? I'm going on a date
with someone else. I'm going on a date in an hour and a half with someone else that I have to try and project an idea onto, and hopefully they like it and can like serve it back to me. A walk and talk, exactly.
For context, listeners. Ian muted someone, because I like a person, and that person was with someone that Ian likes, and I shared the video because it was like, it was a crossover event. It was a prime time crossover.
I shared the video.
You shared it?
I shared it.
Oh, you
shared it to the group.
And I couldn't see it because I don't follow that person, by the way. Oh, yeah.
I think I shared it first.
I thought.
No, I shared it. No, I shared it. Well, you might have shared it in a direct thread with Ian.
No, I shared the photo. I shared the photo of them at the beach.
Yes. And then I shared the video.
And then you shared
the video. And I couldn't see it because I wasn't following it. And I thought, and I didn't clock the name and understand who it was. But then it was sent to me by someone else because that person reposted the person in question. But I mute him, so I didn't see it. But then another person sent it. Just was a funny moment. I was like, 2-3 people have sent this to me because they understand.
Because she's vocal about what she likes.
I am, but I don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, but once you know, you know. And then when you see that girl pop up, it's like, oh, Ian would love
But we
this.
Know, but we know.
But, you know, I'm actually doing a very... I'm doing a good job of just, like, not interacting. And he commented on my story about something... Did I tell you this, by the way? I was just like, okay. And I wrote, gracias. And then I sent it to Juan, and I sent it to Rob. And then Rob's first thing was, that's all you said? And I was like, yeah. He goes, Ian, you could have been like, how's your weekend? How's it going? How are you? And I was like, no, because I've tested the experiment out before. Like, I've done that. He responded to something, and I like kept it going by one more question, and it was unread. And I was just like, I'm not doing that again.
No, good for you.
Anyway, but he really does just, I don't have any notes for him, honestly.
No notes. A podcast coming.
That's a great title.
But what is it?
It would be called No Notes, but all we do is actually have notes about everything.
We thought about that as an idea.
I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, that was on the original. What? It's a great name.
Oh, and it could have been like parentheses K, no notes, and like notes of things we know, and so it's like we're sharing like things. I don't know, sort of. We could have worked on that one maybe. But anyway.
Well, whether you're working on a long schlong or you know. Harkening back to your days of London, please think of us. Like, subscribe, share with your friends, your lovers, maybe your poliamorosas.
Ooh. Si puedes.
But si we will see you back here, you know, and we'll be
next
queer.
Week. Mwah.
Can't
Bye.
Wait.
Mwah.
Oy. I'm going to stop it.
Qué rico.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.